Chapter 36, The Slave Academy. Victor had always enjoyed the raw thrill of violence. From a young age, the act of brutalizing others had been his catharsis. It was as if the blows he delivered were a release, a way to quiet the chaos within him. Naturally, a career in organized crime beckoned him, and he thrived in that shadowy world where his penchant for violence could be both a weapon and a source of income. When the Russian state began its crackdown on his former employers, Victor saw the writing on the wall. He transitioned to trafficking women, a move that kept him ahead of the law by allowing him to travel abroad frequently. His new clients were often the wealthy and depraved who sought women for their pleasure. They paid handsomely, but often came back dissatisfied when their acquisitions resisted or fought back. They needed these women softened, and Victor was more than willing to provide that service, enjoying both the brutality that came with it and the generous pay he could demand. Victor's business frequently took him to Grabesh, where he found a unique demand among wealthy expatriates. Initially, these men engaged with the local black slave girls, but over time, they grew weary of this and sought the familiarity of white women from their own cultures. Victor catered to this shift by trafficking white women into Grabesh. Trafficking was illegal in Grabesh, but the local police were largely indifferent as Victor's activities posed no threat to them or the stability of the Grabesian state. Instead, his presence was seen as an opportunity for extra income through bribes, making him not just tolerated, but almost welcomed among the local authorities. Victor liked the Grabesian authorities. At no point did they make him feel at risk of being charged or even arrested. All they wanted was for him to put some money in their hands. Victor was no stranger to this practice. He had paid off local authorities many times in Russia. At least the Grabesians were grateful when he handed them the money. They made him feel valued and welcome. As he aged, the constant travel began to wear on him. So Victor decided to establish a permanent presence in Grabesh. He would create a business that catered to the needs of his clientele by preparing women to be more pliable, more submissive to their new masters. This venture, the slave workshop, would allow him to escape the Russian winters, reduce his exposure to legal risks, and indulge in what he loved doing most. However, transitioning from the criminal underground to a legitimate business brought new challenges. The market in Grabesh was already crowded with local slave schools, driving down the prices he could charge. His clients now had the audacity to have preferences. They demanded he make their slaves obedient, but also wanted the women to retain some semblance of spirit, to be enjoyable companions as well as compliant slaves. This shift was more complex than Victor had anticipated. In the underworld, he had been setting the pace and the price. Now, in the open market, he had to adapt, to refine his methods. It wasn't just about breaking spirits anymore, it was about sculpting them with precision. His years of experience with violence were a good starting point, but now he needed to go from being a butcher to being a chef. He had to be a virtuoso, a surgeon of the soul, or perhaps somewhat of a spirit chiropractor who molded these women into what his clients desired while keeping as much of their spirit intact as possible. Victor embraced this challenge. He saw it not as a decline, but as an ascension in his profession. He was no longer merely a brute. He would become an artist, a master craftsman of obedience. His age brought not a decrease in his desire for violence, but a transformation in how he applied it, a testament to his skill and experience. Victor carved out a niche for himself by specializing in reconditioning women who had been recently thrust into slavery, a stark contrast to the local slave training establishments. These local shops primarily focused on enhancing the skills of slaves who had already accepted their fate. Additionally, there were businesses that trained black slaves captured during raids. These slaves were natives, fully aware of their captured status and resigned to their lack of escape. This segment of the market was Victor's nearest competition. However, Victor's unique angle was in dealing with women from outside Grabesh, predominantly white and Asian, for whom the concept of slavery was entirely alien. His background in trafficking women taught him how to unravel their resistance and reshape their minds for their new life in Grabesh. He would train these women in English, guiding them through a rigorous process designed to shift their mindset, to acclimate them to their new reality as slaves. His methods were tailored to break down their resistance and help them find their place in their new home. And so while the Slave Academy subjected their charges to rigorous discipline, it wasn't just drills and whips. Victor had carved a system, including daily recreation to keep spirits alive, lessons in massage and Grabesian cooking to mold them into assets. Clients wanted obedience, yes, but also women who could ease a day's strain or serve a meal with skill. He balanced rigor with reward, ensuring they bent without breaking entirely. And so, the Slave Academy was born. Victor was proud of how he had turned his life of crime into a legitimate business. An old dog could learn new tricks after all. After their walk to the Slave Academy, Victor had sat Melissa down in his office to talk to her. He asked her details. She knelt before him and told her everything he wanted to know. Victor was trying to get a feel for Melissa, who she was, and what training she should receive. He nodded, jotting down notes, then sent her to join the others. Dinner followed outside. She sat with other slaves on the grass and had traditional Grabesian food. It looked like tasty burritos. Melissa was surprised how well slaves were fed. They ate under the stern gaze of an old black woman who barked orders at about 20 collared girls. One had passed her a burrito with a steady glance. Another smirked at the commands, but no one spoke. After dinner, the taste of Grabesian burritos still lingered on Melissa's tongue as she set her empty bowl aside. The stern gaze of the old black woman, Zuri they called her, still heavy on the group. The other slaves began to rise, gathering their bowls to stack them by the serving table, when Zuri's voice rang out, sharp but weary. "Take those bowls to the washroom and clean them, now," she ordered, her tone brooking no argument. Her stern face bore lines of exhaustion, the day's heat and relentless drills weighing on her aged frame. Melissa moved to comply, stacking her bowl with the others. As the slaves gathered the dishes, a lanky figure emerged from the shadows of the courtyard, his boots scuffing the dirt with a lazy rhythm. He was young, barely older than Melissa, maybe 17, with a mop of dark hair and a distracted air, thumbs swiping across a phone screen, earbuds dangling loosely around his neck. His faded t-shirt clung to his frame, the faint scent of engine grease lingering on the fabric, and his pale skin stood out against the Grabesian sun, a stark contrast to the tanned slaves around him. Zuri turned to him, her posture stiff, but her voice softening slightly, a hint of deference in her tone.
"Dmitri,"
she said, her Grabesian accent clipping the name with authority.
"I need a rest. These old bones can't keep up all day. Watch them while they clean up. Don't let them slack."
She gestured toward the slaves with a tired wave, her whip still coiled at her hip, then shuffled toward a shaded bench, her step slow and deliberate. The boy, Dmitri, glanced up from his phone, his blue eyes flashing with mild annoyance, but he pocketed the device with a dramatic sigh.
"Fine, fine,"
he muttered. He shoved the earbuds into his pocket and ambled closer, slouching as he surveyed the group with a bored expression.
"At home, we go to Banya to, like, survive the Ice Age vibes. But here I'm living in Banya all day,"
he grumbled, more to himself than anyone else. Melissa watched him as she lifted the stack of bowls with the others, heading toward the washroom. Dmitri's gaze swept over the group, lingering on her bare form a beat too long, and a lopsided smirk tugged at his lips.
"Come on, new girl, move it. You're the slave here, not me,
he said, his tone teasing but edged with curiosity, his eyes glinting with a mix of boredom and interest. Jennifer, walking beside Melissa with her own stack of bowls, caught her look and leaned in, her voice a low hiss.
That's Dimitri, Victor's nephew. Kid's a mess. Always on that phone, but don't let him catch you slacking. He's got a petty streak when he's in a mood.
Melissa nodded, filing the warning away, as they reached the washroom, the clatter of bowls against the stone basin echoing in the small space. Dimitri lingered at the doorway, leaning against the frame, his phone back in hand as he swiped lazily, barely watching them. The faint hum of music leaked from his earbuds, and Melissa exchanged a glance with Jennifer, a flicker of opportunity in her eyes. Maybe, with him distracted, they could whisper without Zuri's whip looming. But Dimitri's wandering gaze kept her on edge, a reminder of the new overseer she'd have to navigate in this hellish place. Melissa followed the others into the basement dorm. The rough weave of her mat prickled her knees as she settled in.
Neil!
Zuri snapped, her voice cut like a blade. The girls dropped to their knees in unison. Melissa stumbled to copy them. Her legs folded awkwardly as she sank beside them. She glanced at the others. Uncertainty gripped her.
Lock!
Zuri barked. Her stern face showed no mercy. Her eyes glinted with cold authority. Each girl reached for a chain beside her mat. Short, heavy links held an open padlock attached to a ring bolted into the wall. They lifted the padlocks to their collars' D-rings. Their hands moved with steady precision. Clicks echoed as they snapped the locks shut. They chained themselves for the night. Melissa froze, her breath caught. She stared at the chain beside her mat. The metal looked cold and dull. She was supposed to lock herself to the wall? This was madness. The other girls acted fast. A pale girl clicked her lock shut. A sharp-featured one secured hers without a flinch. Melissa's hands hovered. She hesitated. Lock herself? She didn't understand. Once shut, the padlock offered no escape, no key, no release until Zuri allowed it. Her stomach twisted. She'd trap herself all night. She looked up, Zuri's coal-black eyes fixed on her. The stare carried impatience, a silent dare to falter. The other girls tilted their heads upward. They offered their locked collars for inspection. Melissa's chest tightened. Everyone else obeyed, swift, silent, like routine. She didn't want to stand out. Not here, not on her first day, when fear already choked her. Zuri's boots thudded closer. That pressure forced her decision. Her fingers grasped the padlock. The cold metal chilled her skin. She lifted it to her collar's D-ring. Her breath stayed shallow. She paused, then pressed the lock shut. A sharp click sounded. The chain's weight pulled at her neck. She had chained herself for the night. No way back. Her throat tightened. A shiver ran through her. Zuri paced the line. Her gaze swept over each raised chin, each locked collar. She stopped at Melissa. A grunt of approval escaped her lips, the padlock held secure. She moved on, satisfied. She stepped back. Worship, she ordered. The girls bent forward, foreheads pressed to the floor, hands settled beside their heads. Melissa followed. The chain clinked with her shift. Zuri's boots thudded past, slow and firm. The door creaked shut behind her. Silence fell over the room. This released the slaves from their pose, and they laid down on the mats to rest for the night.
Hey, new girl, still awake?
Melissa lifted her head slightly, chain clinking faintly. A young woman on the next mat met her eyes, her face pale but softened by a tired half-smile.
I'm Hannah. What's your name?
Melissa,
she replied, her voice hushed, glancing toward the door to ensure Zuri was gone. A rougher voice chimed in from a few mats over, sounding weary.
Jennifer here. So, Melissa, how did you end up here?
She propped herself on an elbow, her sharp features catching the dim light. Melissa shifted, the chain tugging her collar.
I was enslaved at the airport. I didn't understand what was going on. My boyfriend tried to free me multiple times, but it didn't work, and I was sold off to someone. He's in legal trouble now, and I'm here.
Her throat tightened, the memory bitter. Hannah nodded, her eyes heavy but warm.
I get that. I was an au pair, signed up online for a summer in France, nannying for some rich family. Plane landed, and a guy met me, said he was the dad. Drove me to a house, locked me in a basement with other girls. Next thing, I'm in a shipping crate, sold to a bar owner here, who liked my energy.
She sighed, rubbing her neck where her collar irritated her skin. Jennifer snorted softly, her smirk fading into exhaustion.
Mine was a photoshoot gig. London, quick cash. Ad said kinky poses. £200. Got there, they had me strip and put me in chains for pictures. Then they told me to get into a cage for more photos. But then they never let me out. Brought me to a warehouse. From there, I was shipped to some millionaire's mansion in Grabesh. He sent me here when I wouldn't play slave quiet enough.
She yawned, her voice trailing.
Yeah,
Melissa murmured, their stories sinking in.
Promised one thing, trapped in this instead.
Voices rustled faintly down the line. Other girls whispering names and snippets. A quiet chorus of introductions Melissa only half caught in her haze.
Sophie, backpacking.
Lila, job offer.
Their words blurred as Hannah leaned closer, her breath slowing.
We've all got a tale. Keeps us human, I guess. Rest up, Melissa. Tomorrow's another day in this crazy place.
Jennifer grunted, already sinking back.
Sleep's the only escape tonight, new girl. Take it.
Her eyes closed. Melissa lay back, the mat hard beneath her, their names, Hannah, Jennifer, the others, settling in her mind like stones in a stream. A fragile link to who they'd been, shared in the dark. Exhaustion dragged at her, and she let it pull her under, their whispers fading into silence. A few days earlier, the sun dipped below the horizon, painting the sky over Ngalawa Bay with streaks of orange and pink. Marcus walked along a narrow dirt path, his sandals crunching against the gravel, the air thick with the scent of salt and blooming jasmine. Zahara's words had led him here, to the Slave Academy. She had pulled him aside, her voice low and certain, telling him about places like this, places that could train Melissa, make her compliant, solve the problems tearing him apart. Now, desperation and a flicker of hope drove him to this low, sprawling building, half hidden by palm trees, its walls blending into the dusk. He approached the entrance, a simple wooden door weathered by years of sea breeze, and hesitated. Sweat beaded on his forehead, not just from the heat, but from the uncertainty clawing at him. Melissa's voice echoed in his mind, her sharp demands for freedom, her arguments that left him speechless, her flight with Arbeck that had nearly undone everything. He felt out of his depth, a man drowning in a role he was never meant to play. With a steadying breath, he knocked. The door creaked open, and a tall man emerged, his hair graying at the temples, his broad frame filling the threshold. His eyes, sharp and blue, studied Marcus with a calm curiosity. A faint smile curved his lips, revealing lines etched by time and experience.
Yes,
the man said, his Russian accent rolling through the word like a slow tide.
What brings you here?
Marcus cleared his throat, his hands fidgeting at his sides.
I'm Marcus. I've got a problem, a slave problem. Someone told me you might help. Can we talk?
The man's smile widened slightly, and he stepped aside.
I am Victor. Come in.
Marcus stepped inside, the cool shade of the room a relief after the evening's warmth. Victor gestured to a sturdy chair across from a desk. Marcus sat, his hands clasped tightly in his lap.
So,
Victor began, settling into his own chair. He leaned back, his posture relaxed, but his gaze intent.
Tell me about this slave of yours.
Marcus exhaled, the words tumbling out before he could refine them.
Her name's Melissa. She won't stop fighting me. She argues all the time, demands I let her go. She even tried to run once with a friend who's in jail now because of it. I don't know what I'm doing, Victor. I thought I could handle this, but I'm in over my head.
Victor nodded, his expression softening with a fatherly warmth that caught Marcus off guard. He steepled his fingers, resting his chin against them as he listened. When Marcus finished, Victor leaned forward, his voice steady and measured.
Let me guess,
Victor said.
She wasn't born a slave, was she? Came into it later in life.
Marcus nodded, his brow furrowing slightly.
Yeah, she wasn't always like this. She has only recently become a slave.
And you?
Victor continued, his tone gentle but probing.
You're not from here, are you? A Westerner, maybe. New to owning someone.
Yeah,
Marcus admitted, his shoulders slumping.
I'm from Germany. This whole thing, it's not what I'm used to.
Victor tilted his head, his eyes narrowing thoughtfully.
So you want her to obey you, but you don't know how to get her there. You feel lost in this role, unsure what being her master even means.
Marcus let out a short, rueful laugh.
That's it. Exactly. I'm trying, but I don't know how to make it work.
Victor leaned forward again.
What you describe is common, Marcus. I see this often. Slaves who come to it late, fighting against it, and masters like you, new to the game, struggling to find their footing. You've come to the right place, then. The Slave Academy can fix that. We train women to be obedient, to understand their duties. But it's not just about her.
He paused, letting the silence stretch for a moment before continuing.
It's a bond that needs shaping. She submits, you command. We'll make sure you both learn your parts.
Marcus leaned back, his fingers loosening their grip. The idea rolled through his mind, a mix of relief and intrigue washing over him.
That sounds interesting,
he said, his voice cautious but curious.
Training her to obey, teaching me how to manage her, it could solve a lot. I'll need to think it over.
Victor stood, crossing to a shelf and pulling down a leaflet. He handed it to Marcus.
Take this. Read it when you have time. It explains what we do, how we work. But before you go, would you like a tour? See what we offer firsthand?
Marcus paused, the leaflet firm in his grip.
A tour? Yeah, I'd like that, thanks.
Victor nodded, his smile steady, and led Marcus out of the office. They moved through a narrow hall, the air cooler here, tinged with the faint scent of sweat and dust. Victor pushed open a heavy door, revealing a training room. Inside, an old black Grabesian woman named Zuri stood before a lineup of 14 slaves. All female, all either white or Asian. She clutched a whip, her voice sharp as she called out commands.
Attention!
Zuri barked. The slaves straightened, feet shoulder wide apart, hands locked behind their heads.
Kneel!
They dropped to their knees in unison.
Worship!
Heads bowed to the floor, hands beside them. Zuri's eyes scanned the line. She stopped at one girl whose hands weren't positioned correctly, stepped forward, and delivered a quick stroke with the whip. The girl squealed, corrected her posture, and held the pose. Zuri moved on, the routine relentless.
Stand!
They rose swiftly.
Turn, spread, ankles!
The slaves faced away, legs apart, hands grasping their ankles for inspection.
Face me flat!
They turned back and lay prone before her. Victor gestured toward the scene.
This is where they learn discipline,
he said, his tone calm.
Details matter.
Marcus watched, his stomach tightening at the whip's crack, but he stayed silent as Victor led him to another room. The classroom sat empty, desks in neat rows, a chalkboard marked with faded lines.
Here, they study theory,
Victor explained.
Most are new to Grabesh, don't know the land or its ways. We teach them some history, the role of slaves here. They also learn practical skills, cooking, serving food.
Next, Victor took Marcus down a dim stairwell to the basement. The sleeping area stretched wide, a communal space with thin mats laid out on the floor. Before each mat, a ring bolted into the wall held a chain.
They sleep here,
Victor said.
Chained at night. Keeps order.
Marcus frowned, the harshness of it sinking in. Part of him recoiled. Melissa here, treated like this. He thought of how he managed her, softer than this, and yet she resisted, ungrateful. Maybe a taste of this would shift her view, make her see how easy she had it with him. Victor guided him to the adjacent showers and bathrooms, an open area with no doors or partitions.
Hygiene's a priority,
Victor said.
No slave lets herself slip. They groom daily. Inspections every morning ensure they stay clean and neat.
Marcus nodded, approval creeping into his thoughts. Cleanliness made sense, orderly, practical. Victor led Marcus outside. The slaves rested on the grass, just a few steps away, under the sun, sweat clinging to their skin after a tough drill. Marcus looked at one of the slaves. Her sweat-drenched hair was plastered to her forehead, beads of sweat rolling down between her breasts as she caught her breath. She looked up, and their eyes met. A young white man, who looked like a teenager, paced near the slaves with a stick in his hand. He lightly poked a girl with his stick and told her to sit straight. Victor crossed his arms.
Rest keeps them sharp. Disobedience isn't allowed even now,
he said, his voice firm with a slight Russian edge. Marcus nodded, the booklet steady in his grip.
Thanks for the tour. I'm impressed. I'll think it over,
he told Victor. Victor clapped his shoulder, grip strong.
Good. Let me know your choice. We help here.
Marcus turned and walked into the dusk. The slave girl's sweaty, tired look burned into his mind, a decision taking root. Marcus observed, the physical toll clear in the slaves' taut faces. He turned to Victor. Thanks for the tour. I'm impressed. I'll consider your offer. Victor clapped him on the shoulder, his grip firm. Good. Let me know what you decide. We're here to help. As Marcus walked back into the fading light, the leaflet in his hand, the academy's walls loomed behind him. He thought to himself, this could work for Melissa. A stint here, under this rigor, might make her value the lighter days with him. The life with him with beach volleyball, pool swims, nice food, and a soft bed were a life far kinder than how slaves were treated here. The path ahead felt less uncertain now, a choice taking shape.